Ladies and gentlemen,
let's get it on.
Back in the 1980s, ICRT was the one and only contemporary pop music and news radio station in town. And it's been estimated that ICRT drew approximately 300,000 Taiwanese students as regular listeners, including the current president of Taiwan. And it's also been estimated that back in the 1980s, ICRT had about 3 million total listeners nationwide on a daily basis.
It was fun to listen to. My Taiwanese friends say it was a time that was okay to be different from your parents without causing problems within the family.
Check it out.
ICRT was a media phenomenon like the world had never seen. It was a free source of education and entertainment for an entire generation of Taiwanese university and high school students. ICRT allowed its student listeners to broaden their horizons, to go to universities overseas, to get high-paying jobs, to have a better life. ICRT changed its Taiwanese listeners' lives.
Sounds good to me, honey.
Hi, I'm Kev Morgan. I had the great pleasure of hosting ICRT's morning show from 1993 to 1999. In this chapter, we'll hear from a few of the broadcast pioneers who made ICRT popular. Craig Quick, Tony Taylor, Nick Gould, Scott James, Jeff Bauman, and Kay Wong. A name you'll hear throughout this podcast is Craig Quick, the general manager hired to revamp ICRT in 1983, and whose vision turned Taiwan radio on its ear.
You had to say the board was pretty smart. They realized that this international project company, I can't remember the name of it, it's still existing, with a non-broadcast general manager was not only expensive, but it didn't give them what they needed. So they figured out they needed to get somebody with broadcast experience who believed in the oneness of mankind and could function in Chinese society. And luckily, they chose me. I'm sure there were many more qualified candidates than I was, but I got lucky, and I think they got lucky too.
I think that it was more or less a phenomenon. ICRT, you had to listen to ICRT from a student's perspective. We had the English News Service, which obviously attracted the expatriate community, but the students had to listen to it. It wasn't a case of whether or not they were going to miss something if they didn't listen to it. It was just the done thing at the time. For that many years, everyone was listening to ICRT. On top of that, they could learn English from ICRT. It wasn't something that was scoffed at. So you could learn English and enjoy a little bit of the Western world right on your doorstep without having to go anywhere or without having to choose anything. And people remember it to this day. Here in Australia, I have neighbours in my street who listen to ICRT. A global phenomenon that was so much fun to be a part of.
ICRT Taiwan.
I started working at ICRT in 1985, and I remember distinctly that first day that I walked into the radio station, how I was struck by the excitement that was in the room. A lot of energy, everyone was very focused, everyone was busy, everyone looked very concentrated in their work, and it was a very infectious feeling in the room at that time. The other thing that struck me, and it was quite amusing actually, was that there were construction crews in the building, guys with sledgehammers pounding away at these really thick concrete walls, what was a U.S. military bunker. And they were breaking the walls to build windows to let light into the place. And what made it funny was that the DJs had to negotiate with the workers to stop when they needed to do their live broadcasts. What was going on in 1985 at ICRT was this major expansion of the radio station that was the brainchild of then-general manager Craig Quick. And Craig had this really grand vision for ICRT to turn it into a state-of-the-art national broadcasting entity. And he largely succeeded. He was a natural-born salesman with a really infectious enthusiasm, which he transmitted to everybody at the station. And we all bought into his vision. And when I first started at ICRT, I was one of five people in the news department. In a few short years, there were over 20 people in the news department. And at its peak, ICRT had a staff of, I think, over 150 people. So it was really became a substantial media operation. And it's all thanks to Craig Quick and the vision that he had for ICRT.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Craig Quick decided and brilliantly decided to introduce American-style radio to Taiwan. A full-bore commercial, blast them contests, do it up. You know, morning zoos, let's do real radio. Yeah. Taiwan had never heard anything like that. They loved it. They loved it. I mean, because anything America was going to sell anyway, they're fascinated by America. The kids are all being forced to study English and all want to go to America. I think it was one of the most beautiful, internally, one of the most beautiful cross-cultural experiences I've ever seen. The Chinese staff and the foreign staff, mostly Americans, got along. I felt really beautifully. Everybody clearly cared for everybody else. A beautiful arrangement, and I just felt really lucky to get to work there.
We listened because all the DJs were foreigners. They understood us when we called in, and our grammar wasn't perfect. I remember thinking, hey, I'm speaking English, and an American understands me.
Well, this is Scott James. I got to ICRT in January of 1983. And now, I'd say 7 months later or so, Craig Quick showed up as our general manager. And we were not much of a radio station before then. And after Craig, we were gangbusters. So he was terrific. Well, Craig turned the station into a fun, thriving, energized workplace, which was characterized by the following memory. He came into my on-air studio just as I had segued into Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. He closed the door and says, crank that baby up. So I jack up the studio speakers. Craig, in his custom-made three-piece suit, jumps into air guitar mode. I jump up to join him, and we rock out for the entire song. He then straightens his tie, gives me a smile, and says, okay, got a board meeting to attend. Keep on rocking. He was absolutely the best boss anybody could ask for.
Tony Taylor. Craig was a very fun guy. He knew how to be an entertainer, and we met at when we both worked at KIKI. I hired him to work for me. I met Craig Quick back in the 70s at KIKI in Hawaii, and we kept in touch. And when he came over to Taiwan, he gave me a phone and said, hey, Tony, come over and work here at ICRT. I said, okay, so I came over. But Craig, the reason I came over, because Craig and I got along so well. We were both crazy nuts. We were both musicians, both piano players. We were both radio guys. And we knew what a fun radio station sounded like because we did it. And we had a wonderful time. And Craig came up with some crazy ideas, Young Stars, Taiwan Top 20. We did it all.
Coming out of martial law, there were five big no's in Taiwanese society. Beef. Beef was a dish reserved for Chinese New Year meals, so no hamburgers. Coffee was seldom consumed because Taiwanese had many oolong tea farms. Coca-Cola struggled to overcome Taiwan's Hei Song Cola in the market because Coke was more expensive and considered too sweet. Absolutely no pizza was consumed because Taiwanese believed their bodies rejected cheese. And the biggie, the one thing that was actually punishable by law, no Democratic Progressive Party members, the opposition party, were ever to be interviewed on the media. One by one, ICRT played a role in helping to break down these barriers.
FM 100. jammer!
Taiwan's own.
ICRT.